Now, we're going to debunk these vile and scurrilous accusations that the wheels are falling off the Coalition's election campaign. But first to exclusive and never seen before, previously unreleased footage of the National Anti-Corruption Commission tackling high-level corruption in Australia's halls of power. Robust. Just a quick house ad. We're nearly at 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. Apparently, it's a bit of a benchmark. So if you can hit the bell, like, and subscribe, that would be much appreciated. Help us get to 100,000. Apparently, you get a plaque or something. But it will extend our reach. It will help get the message out there. Now, the latest in the ingenious policies of the Coalition is not merely the deportation referendum, an absolute masterstroke of an idea, but it's the anti-Semitism test for new Australian citizens, as foreshadowed in The Australian. A key plank in the Coalition's policy, seriously, as part of its citizenship crackdown package of reforms, Peter Dutton Yahoo, is proposing not only a referendum on chucking people out of the country for anti-Semitism, but introducing anti-Semitism tests for migrants. Brilliant idea. At the vanguard of this crackdown will be Australia's new anti-Semitism task force, which would be an absolute priority when Peter got into office. Absolute priority in the wake of the biggest terrorism plot in Australian history, which turned out to be a scam. So after trumping Albo's puny $30 million grant to the Adas Israel Synagogue, which is apparently insured anyway, with a knock-em-down offer of $35 million on top of the insurance, he fronts the Lowy Institute this week, Peter, and he said,
"A Dutton coalition government will again put the national interest front and centre of our foreign policy. If I become Prime Minister, one of my first orders of business will be to call Prime Minister Netanyahu to build on the one-on-one meeting I had with him during my recent visit and to help rebuild the relationship Labor has trashed. Israel will be able to count on our support again in the United Nations."
This was hard on the heels of Israel killing 150 children in Gaza this week on one night in an hour or two of US bombs, after shattering the ceasefire terms. So Peter's suggesting, of course, that we get out of that sort of woke ICJ, international law sort of thing, the International Criminal Court, where Netanyahu, of course, is under arrest warrants. But the citizenship test thing is serious policy because it will really curb Australia's immigration. And this is the nuance that I think most commentators have been missing because, let's face it, you get to Australia, you're a new migrant, and they ask you, "What do you think of Israel?" You know you got to lie, so you say, "I reckon Benjamin Netanyahu is a great guy. I'm particularly fond of Ben-Gavir, and I admire Beelzebub Smotrich. He's a terrific bloke too. I think Israel's doing a great job." Absolutely fine. They're brilliant. Now, of course, what the government obviously behind this plan is to spend a couple of billion dollars on lie detector tests. And so when people lie about what they think about Israel, including Israelis, we've seen the protests in Tel Aviv this week, then Peter can deport them immediately. Just get rid of them. It will curb immigration overnight. Everybody will get caught lying about Israel. Bang, you're out of the country. Anti-Semitic. And who said the credibility of Australian institutions of power is atrophying? Meanwhile, Chris Pokey Minns was steadfastly refusing to backtrack on his hate speech laws, which were enshrined into legislation on false pretenses. Now the New South Wales Parliament has got the votes in Senate and the upper house for an inquiry into how the blazes this happened. Peter, of course, comes in swift and fast and hard with his deportation referendum idea after that. Barnaby would be right. He won't have to go back to New Zealand. Mac Canavan won't have to go back to Italy. Maybe Fatima Pyman might get shipped back to Afghanistan. Or they'd love to get rid of Maureen Faruqi too, back to Pakistan for sure. This continuous narrative of un-Australians, unwanted terrorists, anti-Semitics, it's all on, isn't it, for the election campaign? What a wonderful election campaign is going to be when they finally call it, although it's been on for the past 2 months, all this year. Anyway, the perennial gas shortage scam bobbed out. It had to run this week in the media, of course, because AEMO, the agency, overlooked the energy market operator, was preparing to hand down its quarterly gas market report Now, the actuals, if you look at the chart, gas consumption has been falling for a few years in Australia, and that's chiefly because it's too expensive, because of climate change, because the gas cartel's been too greedy, and people have switched. But the other scam, of course, with the gas cartel is that 80% of gas is exported. Australia is swimming in the stuff. There is no shortage. And this is why they carry on about a gas shortage, because they want to drill for more so they can export it for more profits for foreign corporations. And did you know, just by the way, that AEMO, it sounds very government-y, but it's actually owned by the government and, yes, and industry. Industry well represented on the board. We're not talking people from the renewable energy industry. None of that wind don't blow, sun don't shine people. Check out the chart. The forecasts show that gas consumption, gas demand is going to triple in the coming years. And we don't exactly know how that's going to work, given the transition is proceeding apace and battery technology, as we're soon going to publish on the website, is going ahead in leaps and bounds. Maybe they should have a referendum to deport the gas cartel back to the US or wherever they come from, because they're costing Australia billions of dollars each year in taxes not paid. The government just can't stand up to them, neither of the major parties. The PRRT is a broken tax, doesn't work. Deport! Of course, the other thing about deportation, of course, is that it's very Trumpian, because the courts already hold these powers to deport people, to get rid of people. And we have a thing in the Westminster system called the separation of powers. And this is to stop politicians becoming dictators and throwing people out of the country for what they perceive is hate speech or whatever. It's a key plank to Australia's democracy. The poor old poor people found a voice this week in the media. They don't usually get much of a say because the media tends to run stories about rich people whining that they're not rich enough. But the agency which represents the poor people in Australia is called ACOS, the Australian Council of Social Services. And ACOS sallied forth with its report this week, which found that the richest 10% of households own 2/3 of all investment properties. But this same demographic is also receiving 82% of the $16 billion in tax relief from negative gearing and CGT discounts. It's a good scam. Got a brief mention in the media, but what really got a mention, what grabbed the headlines, the front pages, was another rich list, soaked up the headlines it did. When it comes to the media duopoly on rich lists, it's pistols at dawn. Now, the AFR has dominated this space historically with its BRW rich list and the AFR rich list. But Murdoch is having a real crack at this rich list market. And this week, held forth with what it simply calls is the list. Stiff competition for the Nine stable, but the AFR is still ahead because it has the sheer number of rich lists. It's got its anchor rich list, its top 200. It's got its Australian richest women list. It's got its young rich list. It's got its tech rich list. I mean, let's face it, it would have a transgender rich list as well if it weren't for the fact that there's probably not many transgender billionaires around the place. We're thinking about starting up the Michael West Media Poor List. You can imagine the headlines. Meet Australia's newest poor person. Secret Aussie poor person joins Mega Poor Club. Australia's top young poor. There's a magazine coverage of the lives of Australia's poor and infamous, the uninfluential. It might catch on. We're going to go and see Longines or Louis Vuitton, see whether they're interested in sponsoring this. Could be a lot of work, though, because there are 3.3 million Australians living below the poverty line. Thank you, AUKUS. And it's no wonder with the price of groceries. And here, Angus Taylor, good old Angus, he came out this week and he mentioned that grocery prices have risen 30% in a week. Now, he probably meant a year, but we all feel it. We all go shopping, don't we? You know, even Aldi. Aldi's gone crazy. You know, I find Harris Farm, which is independent, is cheaper than Coles. And most stuff. Anyway, it was a big week for groceries because the regulator, after a year-long investigation, emerged with its big report into Woolies and Coles, and it conceded that little could be done about their market dominance. Shut the gate. The horse has bolted. It's funny how the banks, too, they're the most profitable banks in the world because the ACCC found that these supermarkets, Australia's supermarkets, were the most profitable in the world. because it only means one thing, you're paying higher prices for your groceries. But of course, as the business press said, the ACCC failed to find a smoking gun. Nothing they could do about it. Let's wave the white flag. Maybe we could ask the Victorian Liberal leader, Brad Batten. But of course, he could be out of range. He might be on a cruise. Did you see the outrageous hammering of poor old Brad Batten in the media? Giving him a hard time, they were, for going on a cruise. Okay, he forgot to mention when he said he was going to Queensland for the floods, for the cyclone, that he was actually going on a cruise in Queensland. But, you know, it wasn't like Hawaii or something. And it was Labor's fault, of course, for introducing laws when he's on this cruise. You can't rule out whether it was a Pacific Princess or a Love Boat or whatever it was. But anyway, why shouldn't people be able to go on cruises? It's outrageous. The good thing about the Libs and the Coalition, though, they might have a dearth of policy ideas, but they can always rely on the fact that everything is Labor's fault. And on the bright side, though, this week would have been budget week in any normal year. We would have had to endure 3 or 4 weeks of budget leaks, drops to the media duopoly every day. Here's a gift for this and a gift for that, budget bribes. But we know what it's going to be. It's going to be a deficit. We're in a campaign, even if they haven't officially started it yet. And so we've been spared 3 or 4 weeks of interminable budget leaks to the corporate media. The only two things of note, really, are the PBS, where Albo did cut the co-payment to $25 for medicines for the PBS. And Peter saw him and matched him, straight away, $25, down from $31. The Uni Party in action, because they did it on Medicare as well, of course. Albo goes, $8.5 billion upgrade for Medicare. Peter Netanyahu goes, $8.5 billion upgrade for Medicare. It's a good move too. Very savvy move from Peter, because his demographic is people between the ages of 83 and 104 who watch Sky News at night. Very savvy move indeed. Check out our coverage, by the way, of the PBS, because I think they are going to come for the PBS, because the American big pharma sector whinges about it the whole time, because the collective bargaining sort of aspect of it here gives us cheaper medicines, a really good deal. And so there will be noise. And we're waiting for the real Trump tariff stuffs to hit next week. In the meantime, please like, share and comment. Support us if you can on Patreon, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.